Hello, and welcome to the Games Life Podcast, episode 126. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
You think we should change our order on how we do that someday, just to throw people off?
Nah, we're here to talk about games, game repair, and, no, I'm just making stuff up. We're not car talk.
Well, what we do have at least planned on our itinerary here that we made up 5 minutes ago. We have our official Borderlands 2 review up. Irish Pride was kind enough to write it, and he basically breaks it down into three sections. Shoot, loot, repeat. And that is basically the entire game broken down into three words. But the game's still fun. Let's see, then we also have... I just completed reading Ready Player One. It's basically a geek book, science fiction book about a geek that needs to save the online world he's living in from being taken over by the bad guys through a contest that was set up by the now dead owner of the system. That's not a very good synopsis. I'll try to do better when I actually talk about the book.
It sounds like if someone from America wrote .hack.
And then we have Steins Gate.
Which is the most bizarre anime I think I've ever tried to watch. Like, so, Fooly Cooly makes more sense.
I don't know about that.
No, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Right now, well, the problem is there's time travel occurring, but it's not really clear that it's occurring because it's happening, like, around the characters. So, like, the timeline is being changed as they're going through it. But the one guy notices it. He can tell that it's changing.
But nobody believes him because he's a fruitcake.
Because he was kind of crazy to begin with.
Kind of.
Very.
He keeps talking about how the association. The organization is out to get him, and he's constantly trying to avoid them, and so on and so forth. But it's actually kind of fun to watch so far.
Mm-hmm. Need to really sit down and watch and not be playing Munchkin at the same time.
Yeah, we need to actually pay attention to the series. Maybe it'll make...
I was paying pretty good attention to it. I was not paying very much attention to Munchkin.
I was only paying medium attention to both things, so...
I was ruling! I had a character that I could defeat a level 30 monster! Booyah!
That's how I was the last time I played. I had all these cards just set up, and it's like, okay, so I'm going to win because I'm going to do this. I had set up everything at once, and I expected somebody to do something so the monsters would defeat me. And then they did, because they didn't want me to win in that round. And then I put down a card that made all monsters level 1, and I won.
Sometimes you just have that trump card.
Though we did have to laugh. I did find a card in there that Foglio drew from Girl Genius. It's a magnificent hat.
Nice.
On top of a Jagermeister. So I'm like, aww, that just, it's just fitting.
It's a nice hat.
You know, if anybody here has not played Munchkin before... You're kind of doing yourself a disservice. You need to at least buy one of the box sets, and even if you don't plan on playing it, read the cards. They are hilarious. Like, there is the Sword of Slaying Everything but Squid. And on Counteract, there is actually a squid monster in the thing.
Yes. Now, I had a three-handed sword, which I had to use a cheat card to equip.
And then those cards, like, the point of the game is to go up to level... You want to get to level 10. You raise up a level every time you defeat a monster. Or there's also special cards that let you do it, like there's Wash the GM's Car. Go up a level.
Threaten to go to a different system.
Go up a level. It's interesting stuff like that, and... I don't know, it's just a fun game. If you've never played Munchkin, you're honestly doing yourself a disservice, I think. Would you guys agree?
I enjoy it.
Oh, we did see the redneck tree. It came up. As well.
It did come up. Ah, the redneck tree. But yeah, back to Steins Gate. basically, it looks like the basis of the story is this guy found out that by mixing his microwave that goes, what was it, counterclockwise?
I don't remember. They're trying to switch the direction of the turntable. Like the whole point of experimenting with it. And they accidentally made it into a time machine.
When used with his cell phone.
Yes.
The odd thing is, I know I've had microwaves that actually go both ways. It's like it changes whenever you start it back up.
Yeah.
Wow, that has no bearing whatsoever on the
conversation. But that looked like an ancient microwave, to be honest.
It did. But yeah, so, like, one of the things they did was they put in this banana. And while they had the microwave on, the banana disappeared. Then they turn around and they see it has reattached to the other bananas and it's turned into this weird
green goo. Which nobody will eat in the name of science.
I do not fault them.
Neither do I.
And then there's this one chick which just doesn't seem to always get it.
Which one? The young...
cosplayer?
The little girl one that had the chicken nuggets?
That's a cosplayer.
The cosplayer, then.
Yes.
But it is kind of funny listening to some of these characters.
To a degree, they have kind of some of the nerdy stereotypes sort of going in there. They have the...
Let's see, we have the cosplayer. We have the over-obsessed scientist that is also a conspiracy theorist. We have the overweight computer geek. We have the I can't believe this is actually happening to me Hollywood chick. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I don't want to talk too much more about it because I don't want to start giving away spoilers on one of the other stereotypes.
I need to, you know, watch it more closely before I could start saying more of what I thought.
Yeah, that's it, too. It's like I was watching it, but I was like, okay, am I just confused or did I miss something because it was my turn?
Yeah, and sorry, it seems to be full of timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey, ooey-gooey stuff?
Yeah, wibbly-wobbly.
The timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. That's it. But
yeah,
it's like...
Yeah, Rampage and I just decided this is, you know, if Japan had come with Doctor Who first.
Like, there was one time where he's talking to this one guy who says he's a time traveler, and then the next time he can't actually find the guy.
It's like, because nobody knows from, about it. Yeah, from the timeline. He's just completely gone.
And now he's back again, though.
But yeah. Then he disappeared again. So they keep screwing with the timeline. Eventually, they're going to mess something up major.
No, he said it doesn't matter. It's just there's, you know...
The thing is that it's the mini universe theory. It's that there are an infinite number of timelines. Like, for example, do you remember that episode of Next Generation wherein Worf was jumping between timeline realities?
Yeah.
And then they, at the end, they basically crashed Enterprise into the thing that first sent him starting to move around through timelines. And then there's like a billion Enterprises. And there's the one with, you know, Riker going, "The Borg are everywhere!"
I need to rewatch Next Generation.
Okay.
That's the second, in a week, that's the second episode somebody's asked me about that I had no recollection of.
I remember that
Here's
one. Just
a tip,
because
if you want to watch them on Netflix, the little synopses are impossible to decipher.
Yeah, they do not have anything to do with what's actually going on in the series.
Like, for example, you think that the episodes where Barclay is kind of the whole plot point would have his name somewhere in that synopsis?
No. Well, I don't trust Netflix synopsis in the first place, because in Farscape, the main synopsis of the series says that the crew revolves around Moya, and the show revolves around Moya and her crew. When it actually more revolves around Crichton and his being a human in an entirely different galaxy, pretty much. That's always how I view it, because they always focus on Crichton. They don't always focus on the spaceship. Anywho, but yeah, it's a fun series. It just came out on DVD and Blu-ray like a week or so ago.
The Tuesday after the con.
And Michael Tatum is the paranoid schizophrenic scientist. He's really fun as that character, though. And then Patrick Seitz is the random disappearing, reappearing, time-traveling scientist dude that he's trying to talk to. Yeah.
I don't know if he's really a scientist. I just think he's just a guy on the internet.
Okay, time traveler. How's that?
There we go.
Let's see. So give it a watch. I don't think it's on Netflix yet, so you're actually going to have to go to Store.
Or Funimation.
Or watch it on Funimation.
Or watch it on Funimation's website. Let's see, moving on. Borderlands 2. I spoke about this a little bit last week, and possibly the week before, since it's the only game I've been playing recently. But Irish Pride has done the review, and as I said earlier, he broke it down into three sections. Shoot, loot, repeat. And that is a good summation of how the entire game actually functions, but that formula seems to work well. He brings up the fact that it does have a nice story to actually go along with it, unlike the first game, which apparently didn't really have much of a story to go with it. You just shooted, looted, and repeated just as much, only without a story.
Infinitum?
And they do bring up the old... I can't talk. you do meet the other four Vault Hunters from the other series in this one. The first one you meet up with is Roland, then Lilith, trying to save Roland, and I haven't run into the other two yet. I'm only level 12, maybe? Somewhere around there. But it's an interesting game. I'm enjoying myself. Irish Pride did give it 5 out of 5. So, yeah. Lots of fun. I highly recommend that if you haven't given it a try, it's worth it. And you can read the full review on our site. Yes, I'm going to make you go there to get the full thing. Moving on, I just finished playing Ready Player One.
You mean reading.
That's I said playing, didn't I?
Yes.
Got done reading Ready Player One. A quick synopsis of this game is it is...
Book.
I played too many damn games. Well, the book is about a game, technically. Well, actually, it's about a virtual world where, you know, year 20-something, 50 or whatever, I forget the actual year the book takes place in, but we're in the future, energy crisis has hit, social downfall, it's dangerous to go between cities because of bandits. So our main character, his name is Wade Watts, which he was personally given one of those names like Peter Parker or Clark Kent because his dad liked the sound of him before he passed away. Is what's called a Gunter. He is a hunting for a special Easter egg that's been placed in the system called the Oasis by the owner of it the day he died. When the owner passed away, he wanted to make sure that the Oasis was placed in the hands of somebody like him, somebody that would kind of respect the system and keep it going for its best. Especially since the Oasis is most people's retreat. It's a very high-end virtual reality system where the reality is literally drawn onto your eyes with a laser. It's a safe laser, but it's drawn directly onto your retina, so it's very realistic. But they're trying to find basically this Easter egg he left, and if they find it, they inherit the Oasis, the guy's company, and $25 billion. Basically, the guy's entire net worth.
Jeez. Okay.
But there's you know, of course, millions of people trying to get these, along with this other corporation called IOI. And they're basically nicknamed the Sixers, because initially it was the Sucksors, but they decided Sixers sounded more politically correct, maybe, or something he just wanted to write repeatedly. What they're trying to do is they work for this company in exchange for a steady job. They promise to find the Easter egg and turn it over to IOI so IOI can then monetize the Oasis. Right now, if you want to start an Oasis account, it costs a quarter. Because the guy was a big fan of 80s arcade games, so his tagline when he created the Oasis was, "The best game you'll ever play, and it only costs 25 cents." IOI, of course, thinks they're not monetizing it properly and wants to charge a monthly fee in order to access it. And a lot of people aren't happy about that thought, so they want to stop them. Well, this is about the story about how this kid finds the Easter egg and beats IOI to it. That's not a spoiler, because the game starts as him talking about it as a bibliographical sense. Basically saying, it's like, okay, everybody has gotten wrong how it actually happened, so I'm here to set it straight. And the book goes from there. It's around 386 pages, give or take. I forget the exact number. And it's a really good game. If you're a gamer, a geek, fan of 80s trivia or history, because this guy was a big fan of the 80s, so everything about the entire hunt has to do with stuff from the 80s. You'll really enjoy this book. I highly advise giving it a read. You can get it either in paper, you can get it in, you know, physical media where you actually have to turn the pages, or you can also get it on either Nook or Amazon Kindle. Unfortunately, this is the only thing this guy has ever written, so I can't read anything else he's done. If I had to give it a grade, I'd say, you know, 5 page turns out of 5. Irish Pride actually did a review on this a while ago in one of his conversations. And, yeah, that's about all I have on that. I have stuttered my way through that entire synopsis. You guys have anything else you want to add?
Nope. I know I should read it. I've seen several people saying, you must read this book! And I kind of need a new book to read, so...
I would highly advise reading that one. That one and another one that I really enjoyed, and I can loan you this one if you want, because I actually have it in physical format.
Yay!
It's called Lost at the Con. I think I spoke of this one probably a few months ago, where I think one of the best review explanations of it that was actually an Amazon review was, think of it as Fear and Loathing at Dragon Con.
Okay.
It's fun. It was a fun read. I enjoyed it. So, do you guys have anything you want to add?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and call it a week then. You can go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com. That is where you can find our reviews, such as the Borderlands 2 one mentioned earlier, along with our store linked to our Facebook and Twitter feeds. If you find that you have any questions, comments, complaints, rants, you can send those to mail at thegameslave.com, or you can also contact us at thegameslave via Twitter. Thank you, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!